Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia, and welcome back to the series called Raising Overcomer this week. If this is the first time you're joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete our online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. And before we begin our worship, let me share with you two highlights at Koinonia this week. I'm sure we're all excited that BC has entered stage three of this restart plan. And just a few weeks ago, Pastor Carson has shared a message called Into the Jordan. And Pastor Carson has shared with you that our church will enter reopening very soon in the fall. And next Sunday, Carson will be also sharing another message called Before Jericho. He'll be building on the Jordan message and share more details about the reopening plan. And what are some of the practical ways that we can prepare ourselves for the reopening? So stay tuned for this special message, Before Jericho, next Sunday. And talking about reopening, do you remember all the ministry team in uniform that are serving at Richmond High before the pandemic? As we will be preparing our reopening, have you ever wondered how things will look? Would that be the same? And if you have been serving in one of the ministry team, have you ever wondered how serving will look different? And in order to answer all your questions, the pastoral team has prepared two Zoom sessions called Ministry Team Recruitment Day. You can either join today at 11:20 or next Sunday. And during the session, you have a chance to have an overview about different ministry teams in the new setting. And plus, you will also have an opportunity to join the breakout rooms and to understand more about different ministry teams and how they will be working out in the fall. So all you need to do is to join the meeting with the Zoom ID provided. So look forward to see you at the Ministry Team Recruitment Day at 11:20 today or next Sunday. For the past 3 weeks at the Raising Overcomer series, we have learned that God is able, and by God's grace, He is able to lead us and our kids to overcome failure, hatred, anger, and disappointment. As we come to the finale of this series this morning, let's stand and ask God to prepare our hearts to worship and receive His word. Let's pray together. Dear God, as we gather to worship You this morning, we declare that You are the faithful God. You are the good, good Father. We declare that the kingdom belongs to You and all the power belong to You. We declare that all the glory forever is Yours. So as we gather this morning, Lord, help us to focus on You and You alone, because You are the true overcomer. And nothing can overcome the power of Your name. Amen.
Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is Yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of Your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is Yours. Nothing can overcome the power of Your name. King above kings, all the universe will sing. Yours. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever is yours. Heaven and earth bow down in the wonder of your name. Heaven is open, death is broken, and the glory forever is yours. Nothing can overcome the power of your name. A king seated among us, let every heart receive him now. Where there is praise, he will inhabit. There will be grace and mercy all around. Every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. To the Lamb, honor and glory. Worthy is he who overcame, buried in shame, risen in power. He is alive, the stone is rolled away. All our worship belong. We will behold him, and every tear he'll wipe away. We'll be at home, the war will be over. Soon we will meet a Savior face to face, and every burden will be lifted in his presence. Every trophy will be laid down at his feet. There is a name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. And all our worship will belong to you forever. Holy, holy, for all eternity. Yours is the name that reigns above all others, Jesus Christ, the King above all kings. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. And I will love you, Lord. our weakness, who should we seek? In our uncertainties, who should we turn to? You, God. Almighty and powerful God, you are our strength, our shield, and our rock. You are the one that we should turn to. And we praise you in our weaknesses. Let us praise you in our uncertainties. And let us focus our eyes on you as we prepare ourselves to receive your message today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters, please be seated.
Good morning, church. So over the past few weeks, we have been talking about raising a next generation that can overcome challenges, overcome setbacks. And I believe that most parents, they are like mine. They will want the best for their child. They will want to prepare them and plan for them and to set them up at a better starting point so that they could climb higher, go further, climb faster. Sometimes I've come across some parents that they feel that the best way to do this is actually to plan the life out ahead for their children, to prevent them from hitting any pitfalls. They would find the best preschool to go so that they can go to the best elementary school. They might stack the timetable for their child with extracurricular like math class, speaking class, or phonetics class so that they are very well prepared to face the challenges up ahead. Personally, I still remember the way that I grew up. I remember how my parents, they would provide with me the things that I need. For example, I was bad in math, I was bad in English. They would send me for math class, English class. And when I showed interest in robotics, they bought me the entire robotics set so that I could join the robotics club. These are just some of the things that my parents would do to prepare me. And I'm sure that you as a parent, you would do as well. You would want to prepare your child. You want to give them the best. You want to help them to achieve what they want to achieve without feeling pain or going through suffering. Because some of us as parents, we think, I've suffered. I've been through a lot. And I want to give the best to my child to prevent them from going through the same things as I did. Now, this is what the series is actually talking about. We are exploring, as parents, what's the best way that we can help our child to deal with certain yet unescapable parts of life. So Haynes, he shared with us in the first week, how can we fail? When we fail, can we fail forward? How are we going to overcome mistakes? And in second week, Pastor Gabriel, he shared with us about anger, rage, and how we deal with that, the anger management that we need. And last week, Pastor Craig, he shared with us about how we can deal with disappointment, how can we deal with that and overcome that such that we can continue going forward. Now, this week, we're going to look at a different emotion. We're going to look at pain. So do you still remember the way your child would tell you they're in hurt or they're in pain? I've seen some kid describe their physical pain as ouch, ouch. And when I ask them, where are you hurting? They would point at the place where they scraped themselves. So I said, this is where it hurts. This is my ouchie. And I asked them how pain it is, just to determine the level of injury. They said, very. Now, that's not very helpful. It's not going to tell me if they broke a bone. It's not going to tell me if they fractured something. All I know is there's a script there. It's ouch. It's very ouch. Now, pain is a very hard emotion to articulate. So physical pain is right there. But what about emotional pain, pain that's inside of us? Even adults, they struggle to express this emotion in the right way. They find it hard to articulate it. Most of the time when a child is suffering a physical pain, they can point to it. But when it comes to emotional pain that's inside, where can they point to? They lack the right words to say it. And emotional pain and suffering is just much harder to express. When children are feeling internal pain, such as sorrow, heartache, heart pain, or in a depressive state, sometimes what do we see from them is they don't eat. They can't eat, they can't sleep, or they lack in energy, they're just in bed the whole day, and you're thinking, what is wrong with my kid? Why is he sleeping so much? Why is she sleeping so much? Why are they in bed all day? And or they could just turn their focus to something else, like gaming for the guys, or maybe girls too, or they just turn to music, they turn to anime, they turn to drama, and they're just focused in that, and they're just in that world all by themselves, trying to deal with that pain. Or perhaps there will be bouts of anger, there will be bouts of frustration. Yet with all this, they're still struggling to express where they are actually feeling inside, what they are actually feeling deep down. At the very least, if it's a physical injury, a child can point to it and we can help them. But when it's internal, where can they point to? How can they overcome that? Now, throughout my years of interaction with children and youth, I've come across a number of ways that parents would try to help their kids overcome pain and suffering. So if I were to consolidate, it would be three different methods. The first one is to avoid. So some parents, in order to prevent their kids from feeling pain, they make sure that the kid avoids any pain. So the first thing they would do is they would say, okay, I'm going to plan this out for them. And they just have to follow the path and they would not be in any pain. So I've come across a parent said, boy, girl, don't date so early. You're going to break up in the end. When you're dating high school, it's far too early for you to date. Inevitably, you will feel heartache. You will break up with him. So in order to avoid that pain, in order to avoid heartache, they tell them, don't date so early. Date later on in life. It's fine. You have time. They will go that far to ensure that whatever they have planned for them is going to prevent that heartache. And I've seen parents go to the extreme such that they have the same group of friends from school to math class to speaking class to drama class. It's all the same group of friends so that they prevent the pain of losing a friend or going to a different class than their friend. Now, sometimes we as parents, that is what we would do to avoid our child from being in pain, to protect them. A different method that I've seen is to deny. To deny that what you're feeling is pain. Now, more often than not, I've seen fathers do this, and this is one example that I've come across. Oh, it's okay. We need to move. It's fine that you lose your friend. You know, even me, your dad, when I came over from Hong Kong, I lost my friends. I had the pain of that. But, you know, just deal with it. Get over yourself. This is nothing big. This is part of life. This is something that you will go through. You're going to lose your elementary friends. You're going to lose your high school friends. You're going to lose your university friends. You're going to lose your friends from your first job. Losing friends is normal. This kind of pain is normal. They try to normalize that pain. Deny that feeling that you're having inside you, that is pain. So sometimes we as parents, we are guilty of that. And the third way I've come across is to medicate the pain. Now, if your kid, they lost, or the first pet is dead, or the pet ran away, maybe one way that you would help them to overcome that is, let me distract you from that pain that you're feeling. I'll take you out to a water park. I'll take you out to have ice cream. But one of the most ridiculous examples I've come across is a dad who's divorced. His son is in pain. And he said, son, should I get you a new mom so that you can overcome this pain that you're feeling? Now, a lot of us might be thinking, wow, that is the extreme. That is really ridiculous. But we, as parents, sometimes this is what we do to help our children overcome pain, is to tell them, okay, it's okay. It's painful, I know. Let me distract you with toy, distract you with candy, distract you with ice cream, with a trip to Disneyland. Maybe that is what we do. The truth is, there's nothing wrong with loving our children. There's nothing wrong with wanting to protect them. But this love that we have for our children, does it help them or is it going to harm them? Well, would this build them up or would it cause them to crumble? Is there a right way that we can help them and still show them that we love them? The truth is that in the Bible, it shows us. You know, the way we love our children is the same way that God loved us as His children. And in His infinite wisdom, God never promised us that it's going to be a bed of sunshine and daisies. But instead, God did tell us, and God did show us how He is going to be helping those who are in need, who are in pain and suffering. So let us look at this Bible character that knows pain and suffering intimately. Paul is someone who's been through a lot of suffering. He is no stranger to pain, no stranger to suffering, no stranger to the sense of loss. He's been there, he's done that, he's experienced persecution, sense of loss, people dying, and he's also faced imprisonment. And in light of all of that, Paul wrote something that might help us to understand how he can help our children as well. So let us turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 35 to 39 to understand even better. In Romans chapter 8, verse 35, it says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. in verse 35 to 36, Paul describes all sort of pain that we might go through. This is what he says. He says, tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword. Paul, he's using very extreme words. He's using very heavy words. That's because the Christians of that time in Rome, they have been through that. They have experienced a sense of loss. They're being persecuted. There are people dying. They're always in danger. So these are the experiences, the feeling that they are going through. And this is how Paul, he expresses it. Now, during those early times, when Paul wrote Romans, John the Baptist was already dead. He has lost his head. Jesus was crucified. Peter, John, and the other apostles, they were either arrested, crucified, or imprisoned. Now, writing to the Romans who are facing such a difficult situation, Paul, he's giving encouragement to these Christians here. And because he's experienced all this hardship, all this pain, right, as well. He knows what it means that the loved ones are being torn from him. He knows what it means to face persecution. And in a display of his understanding and knowledge of Old Testament, he quoted Psalm 44 to express how it feels like. He describes the sense of pain, suffering, helplessness as a sheep being led to slaughter. He said, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. These are words that express that pain, that suffering, and he knows. He knows how hard it is to deal with all this. But that is my question. How can Paul, with all these different emotions, he can continue? How is he able to continue to endure that suffering during persecution? And despite all that he has suffered, he's still able to carry on, overcome. How did he do all that? What is giving him strength? Who is giving him strength? He made that proclamation in verse 35, right at the start. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Before Paul even talked about pain, before he talked about the suffering, before he even used the different words to express the things that he is going through, they are going through, he starts off by saying, who can separate us from God? Who? Nothing. Nothing. Because that is how certain he is. He is certain that nothing could separate him from God. God's presence was there with him every single step of the way. Others might feel, where is God? Where is God in my tribulation? Where is God in my suffering? Where is he? Paul is certain God is there because nothing can separate. He was certain of God's love. He clearly knows that God's love trumps all things. God's love overcome all pain, all suffering. And we might think God loves us and He's present. How do we know that nothing will stop it? Because even though our parents love us, one day our parents will not be around as well. Even though we love our children, there is one day we will not be there for our children. Yet, Paul, he is certain in God's presence. And it was so strong that he used several different descriptions to state that nothing in this world can take him away from God. He expresses it in chapter 8, verse 37 and 39. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present or things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Paul, what he did was, he used death and life. He used angels, rulers, things present, things to come, powers, height, depth, anything else in all creation. He uses these words to express how God is bigger than all this. He starts by talking about death and life. These two words actually encompass everything because death and life, it's covering all existence because if you're not alive, you are dead. There's only two things. There's no in-between. When he talks about death and life, it's encompassing every single thing. He's telling you that nothing in under the sun, under the existence, is going to overcome that. He continues to say, angels, they are transcendent beings. They are good ones, they are bad ones. Yet, God's love is above all that transcendent being. God trumps that. He talks about rulers, he talks about power, authority. No matter what kind of authority that you have, nothing is going to beat God's love for you. And he goes beyond that realm. He goes into the temporal realm, a category of time, of chronology, because things present, things to come, this is the present, the future. Time is not going to dilute God's love for you. Time is not going to separate God's love from you. And height, depth, He's telling us that there's no measurement, there's no unit of measurement that can separate us from God's love. And to wrap it all up, in case he missed anything, this is how he wrapped it up. Anything else in all creation. He's recognizing that God is sovereign. God is the one who created every single thing. And nothing that's created, nothing that's going to be happening can separate us from God's love. This is how Paul closes his statement. It is with certainty because there's nothing else in creation that can separate us. He covered every single grab because God is the creator, God is sovereign, and the entire world is God's creation. So when we think about it, when we sit on it, we come to a realization that God is present through every single thing. Death, life, now, future, God is there. God is present. The pain that we're going through, the heartache that we have, the pain of betrayal, the suffering that we're going through, God knows all this. And he is present in our lives and he is around us because he loves us. It's not far-fetched to say that God is beside us. He is constantly present beside us. Because of his love, that reminds us of his presence. God is present in the joy. God is present in the suffering. The consequence of our mistake that we are struggling with, God is there. The anger that we feel, God is there. The disappointment that we have in our life, God is there. Paul's certainty about God's love, about God's presence is so strong that he uses this description. And he closes by saying the same thing that he said in verse 35. Nothing will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. In this passage, Paul, he delivered to us this good news. He shared with us this good news that no matter what happens, God is present, God's love is there. Just as Paul was certain about God's presence in their life, we too can be certain about that. God is not away when we are in pain. God is not turning his face away when we are in suffering because he's there, he's loving us. But we might think, so what? These are very theoretical. Things that Paul is saying, it sounds very far-fetched. It sounds very theoretical. It's all the hidden knowledge. And where is the concrete evidence that God is beside us when we are in pain? So let us turn to a different letter that Paul has written. Paul tells us that in detail in 2 Timothy. So in Romans 8, the way Paul expressed his certainty and confidence in God was a theoretical manner. It was more of a theological understanding. It was more of a proclamation of God's love. But in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 to 18, Paul expresses that sense of loss, but at the same time, it is a testimony of God's love for him. For this is what he says in chapter 4, verse 16 to 17, at my first defense, no one came to stand by me, but all deserted me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be proclaimed and all Gentiles might hear, so I was rescued from the lion's mouth. Verse 18, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So in this second letter that Timothy wrote, this is what Paul says in closing. Even though he went through all that pain in verse 16, at his defense, at his trial, there was no one there for him. He was all alone. He was deserted. And he was in chains. He was in captive. He was physically in a bad place. It did not matter to him. The pain was no longer a physical pain, but it was a mental pain and emotional pain. But all those pain that he's going through, he didn't have someone to walk beside him. He didn't have someone physically beside him. He had to deal with it alone. But this is the key thing. He knows that he's not alone. In all the circumstances that Paul was in, he thinks his time is near, he's about to die. Perhaps it's due to this seriousness that Paul's situation, that perhaps no one physically was beside him. But despite knowing all that's happening to him, he was certain about one thing. He knew who gave him strength. He knew who would speak up for him. And he was certain about that because in verse 17, it was God. It was God who stood by him. It was God who strengthened him. Paul was someone who has personally encountered God, whose own life was invaded by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because for him to be certain about God's presence at such a time was something that was natural to him. It was second nature. God was a constant presence in his life throughout his day of spreading the gospel through his joy. And now he knows God is there in his suffering. Therefore, Paul, he described God first give him the strength to spread the gospel. And as mentioned, spreading the gospel during that time was not an easy thing. It was painful, there was suffering, there was persecution. But Paul understands that even when he's on the verge of dying, right at the lion's mouth, he was rescued by God. And I want to point this out, because no matter what Paul experienced, no matter what he was facing, there was something that was reflected in his writing. It is right here. But the Lord stood by me. The Lord stood by me and strengthened me. It was the Lord. Once again, the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. It's the Lord. It's the Lord. The Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Paul was certain about who rescued him, who was there for him. It is the Lord. It was God who was there for him. He repeatedly focused on God's presence beside him because it was God who stood by him. It was God who strengthened him. It was God who will rescue him. And he clearly understands this. This is his testimony. This is his own experience. And he's sharing it with us. He's sharing it with Timothy to encourage us, to let us know God is there for you. It's just God. God is the reason for his confidence in sharing the gospel. God is the reason for his confidence in facing trials and challenges, in enduring the pain, enduring the suffering, all of it. He is certain and he's able to proclaim of God's presence because of God's love. And it's that love that we have been given as well. And as parents, we love our children. There's nothing wrong with that. We too want to be there for them. We too want to make sure that they don't feel pain, give the best to them. We plan for them, we prepare them. At the end, this love that we have, just as God loved, is it going to help them overcome challenges, or is it going to help them not deal with that pain? I'm sure you love your daughter. I'm sure you love your son. And when you see them in pain, you will feel that heartache. You will wish that you can take that pain away from them and bear it yourself. But is coddling them and dismissing or avoiding the pain going to help them? I want to encourage you to think with me. You know, just as we would baby-proof the house to ensure that our children do not feel pain, have we baby-proofed their life to a point where they would be lost without you? Now, I've seen some parents going to school and they would confront the teacher. Why do you give my son a B-? Do you know he's so upset about that B- that he cannot sleep, he cannot eat? Make sure you give him an A next time. These are what some parents would do. Or I've seen some parents coming up to the administration. Why do you not have enough seats for my children? Why do you not have one more slot? Make one more slot happen. I want them to join the camp to prepare them. You know, for all the things that parents have done just to give them a better starting point, what if God is calling us to raise a next generation of overcomers, to raise a generation that can fail forward, to raise a generation to know what it means to handle their anger, a generation to know how to overcome their disappointment, a generation that knows how to deal with pain, deal with grief, deal with suffering? What if this is the generation that God has asked you to lead, to prepare? What if there is a generation that is certain about God's love just as Paul was? What kind of generation would look like? How would it look like? It's hard to imagine, but I know it's going to be awesome. So as parents, what can we do to help them overcome pain? And what we can do is to help, is to model what God has done for Paul. It's just to be present. It's not to protect them, not to wrap them up in a bubble wrap, and when they roll down, they're not going to get hurt. But it's to let your presence, to be that presence for God, to work through, to be there for your child. Now, I remember, and I saw how my mom worked to be that presence for my sister. You know, Bev was always someone who held herself to high standards. If she's getting an 86, she would ponder about it. Why? Why did I only get an 86? 86 is not good enough. She wants a 90. She wants a 95. She would place stress upon herself that she's unable to sleep, unable to deal with it. Or sometimes she's just facing a lot of challenges in school. But my mom, this is what she told Beth. She said, I cannot help you to study. I cannot help you write your paper. I cannot help you deal with your assessments. But what I can do for you is to be present. If you want to talk to me, I'm here for you. If in the middle of the night at 3 a.m. you're feeling hungry, I'm there to make your food. I'm there to help you, to be present, to accompany you, so that you're not feeling alone. Mom would accompany her on late nights, talk to her, and just be there for her. And that's actually what was needed. It's just to be present. And I believe that is what is needed from us to help the next generation as well. Because I personally remember a time when I was just present for a child in Kapos. His mom had to go to a different country for a period of time. And this child was really close to his mother. And during that time, his primary source of strength was taken away from him. And he had it tough. He was feeling more emotional than usual. And at the end, all I did was just to accompany him, to be present, to be there for him, play chess with him, talk to him, and just to hear him out. It's just to let him know, you are not alone. You are not alone. Because more often than not, when we want to raise a next generation of overcomers, it is not to medicate the pain. It's not about taking away the pain or avoid the pain. It's not for us to let them know that that is fine, that pain is going to happen all the time. No, because it would be next to impossible for them to avoid their first breakup, for them to avoid a betrayal of a friend or a friend moving away. It's next to impossible. But what we can do for them when they're in pain is just to be there. Let them know through our presence that God is there for them. Just as how we love them, God loves them. God is there for them. And that is most important to them during that time. Our presence beside them is to let them know. Let them feel there's someone there who cares for them and that someone is beside them. Let us use our presence to let them know that God has placed someone who cares for them to walk alongside them. Be present in the presence of pain. For those of you who are listening right now, perhaps you might be a parent. Maybe you are just someone who's older and you're serving in church. Maybe you're just an older sibling. But what you can do right now for any one of them that you are walking alongside is to be present. To be present in that time of pain. We love our children. That is something that we don't deny. That is something that we will not deny. That is something that does not change. But this love for them, let us remember, don't let this harm them. Let this encourage them. Let them know when they're in pain, when they're in suffering, there's someone that they can turn to. Let your presence be that presence. Let your presence reflect the presence of God in their life. Let them know that when you're there for them, it's not just you who's there for them, it's God that's there for them as well. So that one day, if one day you are no longer there for them, they know who they can turn to when they're in pain. Because I know, one day, we will not be there when they need us in pain. One day, my mom will not be there for me when I am in pain. But God is, just as Paul is certain about who's there for him in his time of pain and suffering. Let us raise a generation that knows that we are in pain. God is there for them. Let us be present in the presence of pain. Let us together raise a generation that can fall forward, that can deal with anger, that can deal with grief, disappointment, pain, suffering. And I encourage you, be present in the presence of pain. Let us pray. Lord, we want to give thanks. We want to give thanks that your love overcomes everything, be it death, be it life, now, future, no matter what kind of power there is in the world, and everything under creation, we know that your love overcomes all that, and you love us beyond all that. And your love for us has given us Jesus Christ. And your love translates into your presence in our life in pain. And Father, I just pray that today you'll raise up a next generation of overcomers who are able to overcome pain and know and be certain that in pain, your presence is there for them. And let us be that channel of blessing to show them. Let our presence show your presence in their life. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us rise and sing the response song.
To you, you're
2 Timothy chapter 4, Apostle Paul repeatedly proclaims that it was the Lord. It was the Lord. It was the Lord who strengthened him. It was the Lord who rescued him. It was the Lord who stood beside and was with him throughout everything. Through the dangers, through the tribulations, through the painful moments, it was the Lord that he chose to put his confidence in and put his trust in. Brothers and sisters, let us be reminded that we can always trust in God, always, even in the painful moments. And let us learn to guide our children to God's strength and his presence. And may the Holy Spirit give you wisdom and strengthen your faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yes, he is our strength. He is our shield and he is our rock. As we turn our eyes upon God, we won't be overwhelmed. As we conclude our worship this morning, may I remind you to support and participate in the ministry of Koinonia through offering. And for online offering, you can visit our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now let's stand again and let me bless you with a benediction from the Apostle Peter. The God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the dominion forever and ever. Amen. So that concludes today's worship. But just a reminder, please join Zoom for the Ministry Team Recruitment Day. And to find out more about how you can serve when our church reopens, the session will be starting right at 11:20 a.m., right after the worship. So come and join us using the Zoom ID, and I will see you there. Have a great week.